Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into my podcast, Xena Life as a Dominatrix. This is episode 56. This will be published on Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. Before I begin discussing today's topic, I just want to make a note that on each and every of my podcast episodes, I have a link that states support the show today, and when you click on the link, it leads directly to my Venmo page. So tips are greatly appreciated. And thank you all very much for tuning in, subscribing, and supporting my show. All right, today's topic, inspirations. I'm a big fan of the arts. That's why I never take New York City for granted. There is so much going on here that focuses on art, whether it's going to a ballet, going to an opera, going to a Broadway show, seeing graffiti, seeing art galleries, art walks, going to different concerts, going to the movies, seeing a comedy show. That all focuses on art. There's art everywhere. It is inspiring. It is amazing. So today I am discussing my own personal inspirations. Literature. De Sade. Who was De Sade? He was a French writer, a libertine, a political activist, a nobleman that best known for his libertine novels and imprisonment for sex crimes, blasphemy, and pornography. His works include novels, short stories, plays, dialogues, and political tracts. Some of these were published under his own name during his lifetime, but most appeared anonymously or posthumously. So, famous quotes by Marquis de Sade. My manner of thinking, so you say, cannot be approved. Do you suppose I care? A poor fool, indeed, is he who adapts a manner of thinking for others. Another one. It is only by way of pain one arrives at pleasure. And another one. In order to know virtue, we must first acquaint ourselves with vice. Fuck, is one expected to be a gentleman when one is stiff? If it is the dirty element that gives pleasure to the act of lust, then the dirtier it is, the more pleasurable it is bound to be. Yeah, there are definitely different books on Marquis de Sade. I haven't read a de Sade book in quite a long time to think of it. Maybe I should pick up one of the books and from the bookcase here. And another writer that I look up to and I absolutely love. She's one of my inspirations is Patti Smith. She's a writer. She's a poet. She's a musician. She is brilliant. She's written several books. The most successful book she has written is Just Kids. Another one I recommend is The M Train, Year of the Monkey, etc. Sometimes she does book signings here in the city, and I always find out about these signings last minute. And her books are great, and she's been writing for several years, and she's definitely one of my inspirations. All right, let me talk about music. I know Patti Smith falls under that category as well, but let me discuss a band that I absolutely adore. Their name is Chris and Cozy. They're from England. They're experimental. Their music is melodic. They have beautiful harmonies. I'm grateful to have seen them perform at the Metro. I think this was 2011 or 2012. And they're very nice people, and they're very, very talented. Another band that I love is Deform. They're a French post-industrial and electronic band. They were formed, I believe, in 1977 or 1978. Their music is incredible. The band, I don't think, has ever toured the States. I could be wrong. But their music, I play their music in my sessions or when I'm just doing whatever around the house, and their music just speaks to me. I love it. All right, another musician that is one of my inspirations, Iggy Pop. He's from Detroit. Of course, he invented the stage diving. I've seen him and his band performing the Stooges at Pass Riot Fest in Chicago. And his work in the Stooges was absolutely incredible. And his solo work is fantastic too. His album, The Idiot, his solo album, The Idiot, I recommend. I could play that album over and over again. Lou Reed, especially in the Velvet Underground. Velvet Underground was an art rock, proto rock, experimental band formed in New York City. Their self-titled album with Nico, with Warhol's Banana as the cover of their album, that album just totally speaks to me now. Back then, it took me a while to get into it. Yeah, and I remember purchasing the album, and I didn't open the album for the CD for a good month or so, and then finally one day I opened it, I played it, I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. And very, very different, very experimental. Sadly, I never saw Lou Reed perform. And actually, a week ago, his wife, Laurie Anderson, performed in the city. And the performance, it was a Lou Reed celebration performance. Because I believe he passed March 2nd, or his birthday was on March 2nd. Gosh, let me look this up because I don't want to get my facts incorrect. So, yeah, it was a celebration of his birth. So he's born on March 2nd. So it was a celebration of his life. And seeing Laurie Anderson perform, it was such a moving performance. And it involved people demonstrating Tai Chi on stage while Laurie Anderson's music and the band were blaring the music throughout the room, echoed in the room. And the Tai Chi performers, they encouraged the audience to perform Tai Chi as well. Lou Reed was Master Ren is the teacher, Master Ren's student. For over 20 years, and Lou Reed religiously practiced Tai Chi. His last album, I believe, was created in 2007, was total opposite than the Velvet Underground. The album's called Hudson River Wind Meditations. It's very ambient music, great music to meditate to. And Lou Reed, yeah, he's very, very. Very outspoken, very different, very started to be a musician in the 60s and continued being a musician till his death. And his work is very inspiring. Next musician that I find quite inspiring is David Bowie. How many different personas did David Bowie really have? Let's see. There was Ziggy Stardust. There was Major Tom. Halloween Jack is more cartoonish and less theatrical than Ziggy, where he wore an eye patch and dressed in other androgynous pirate wear. Then there was the Thin White Duke. Up until 1976, Bowie had a string of different characters, but by the time he began working on his Berlin trilogy of Low, Heroes, and Lodger, Bowie dared to be himself, whatever that was. He stopped writing songs for his imagined different personas and decided to write for himself. I find that to be so inspiring and fascinating. And I love how each of his albums had a different sound as well. And the trilogies written in Berlin, he collaborated with Iggy Pop for that as well. And they were they're just brilliant albums, and Low is more experimental. I don't have a favorite Bowie album, but the trilogy albums are fantastic. Even before the trilogy albums, Ziggy Stardust, Aladdin Sane, Young Americans, those are all very good as well. And I love how he also collaborated with Luther Vandross to create a different sound for Young Americans album. And I believe that's how, per, I think that's how Luther Vandross got to be known. I could be wrong, but but he became a very famous musician after that as well. And sadly, I never got to see Bowie live. I wish I would have, but there's nobody that'll ever be like Bowie. He was one of a kind, and I find that to be very inspiring. All right, next band, Susie and the Banshees, another band I'm grateful to have seen in 2002 in Chicago. The Times called the group one of the most audacious and uncompromising musical adventurers of the post-punk era. Sadly, they disbanded in 1996, and Susie and Budgie continued to record music as The Creatures, a second band that they had formed in the early 80s. And The Creatures, their music is, I would say it's ambient, tribal, drums, melodic. It's different than the Banshees, but I love the Creatures as well, that music project that Susie and Budgie created. And in 2004, Susie began a solo career, and I've never seen her solo, but I've seen her with the Banshees, thankfully. And last year, she performed solo only one show in the States in LA. Hopefully she'll do a tour this year. Crossing my fingers. That would be so great to see her live again. She's a fantastic performer, artist, and very beautiful. Very, they would call her the Gothic Queen, the Queen of Goth. Her fashion, very punk rock, goth. But she is who she is, and that is very inspiring. And of course, Patti Smith. Her debut album, Horses, I recommend. I've seen Patti with her band a handful of times, actually. The last time I saw her was December 30th, 2023, in Brooklyn. That show was sold out. It was awesome, packed house, loud, fucking brilliant band. Each performance of Patti Smith with her band is moving, it's inspiring, and I love that she's still touring to this day. She was born in Chicago and she currently resides in New York City. She's a musician, a writer, a poet, a mom. She's all around a badass. She speaks her mind and she isn't afraid of doing so. And, I've been watching her live footage from like 1979 constantly on YouTube. It's just, I know I wasn't born in 79, but I would picture like, wow, to have been there in the 70s. Wow, cool. But I'm grateful to see Patti Smith to this day kick ass, perform, strum on the guitar. Have her band kick ass. They are just fantastic. So I love all sorts of music. And one day I'm on the iPod, I'm playing the B-52s. Then the next day I'm playing Nina Simone. And I like also having my iPod surprise me, putting it on shuffle. So one moment the iPod's playing techno by Legowelt or by let's see, Carl Craig, Detroit Techno. And then the next moment it's playing hard rock, like Metallica or Led Zeppelin or White Zombie. So I like all sorts of music. Music inspires me. Music is moving. Music gets me going. And yeah, next person, not a musician, but another inspiring person that I looked up to in, let's see, 2005, 2006. Her name was Sabrina Belladonna. She was a fellow dominatrix. She was a established in Los Angeles, and she was very well known in Los Angeles. She had a website back then called prodomination.com. Luckily, in 2006, I did a photo shoot at her dungeon in Los Angeles, and I had two sleigh boys play my fellow quote unquote actors in the photo shoot. And so I had them worship my purple boots. I whipped them. I made them my bitch. She photographed the entire scene. And I don't think she videotaped it. I would have remembered that. But there was something about Sabrina that was so striking, so powerful. She was so beautiful. She was nice. She was kind. And she was very welcoming. And her dungeon was so beautiful, too. And sadly, she had passed away from breast cancer. She had a charity called Bowling for Boobies in Hollywood. And it would, I believe, it raised a lot of money for breast cancer awareness. And she is missed. She was definitely, when people ask me who were my femdom inspirations, she was one of them. I could call her my friend, and we collaborated, and she was very nice, and I miss her. Photography. Robert Mapplethorpe, another inspiration. He was infamous for creating BDSM photography. He has this image of a fist up a guy's ass. And a self-portrait of him holding a cane with a skull on the tip of the cane. Those were his most famous photographs. He's best known for his powerful black and white portraits and self-portraits. His photographs both challenged us and presented us with images of classical beauty. There's a documentary I recommend called Mapplethorpe. Look at the pictures. It's almost a 2-hour documentary, and it discusses who Mapplethorpe was. So those who are interested in learning about Mapplethorpe, I recommend checking it out. And in January, I decided to visit his art studio, the outside of his art studio in NoHo in the city, to see where he did his photographs, photo shoots, and it's an old building, 4-story building. His studio, I believe, was on the top floor, and sadly, he had passed away from the HIV/AIDS virus. And but his work lives on forever. Painters, Andy Warhol and Basquiat. Their work just speaks to me. I love how colorful their work is, how painting can make you think, what am I really looking at? What is really going on here? Recently, Basquiat's art studio on Great Jones Street in NoHo, it's actually a block away from Mapplethorpe's studio, but Basquiat's studio was either purchased or leased by Angelina Jolie. And now it's open to the public. And it's pretty minimalistic and chill inside. And you can order your coffee inside. There's a coffee, a barista inside. And you could sit down, chill out, sip your coffee, and read various books on display. And many of the books are about Basquiat. And there are documentaries on both artists that I recommend. The Warhol documentary, The Andy Warhol Diaries on Netflix. And after he was shot in 1968, Andy Warhol began documenting his life and his feelings. And those diaries and the series reveal the secrets behind his persona, who Warhol was. And the Basquiat documentary, Basquiat, The Radiant Child, I recommend, and it's on Amazon. And in the beginning of Basquiat's 10-year career, he was known for his graffiti art under the alias Samo in the Lower East Side. And then the 70s, the late 70s, he sold his first painting to Debbie Harry for $200. Then he dated Madonna and then became close friend and collaborator of Andy Warhol. Basquiat was launched into international stardom for his bebop-influenced neo-expressionist work. And Warhol, he would have parties at the factory and in the 1960s, very avant-garde, collaborated with the Velvet Underground. And then for many years, he was an artist until he passed away. He passed away having his gallstone removed at the hospital, I believe in 1988. And then a year prior, Basquiat passed away. But now I'm really, I don't want to get my facts messed up. So Basquiat passed in 88 and Warhol passed in 87, within a year of one another. And they were very incredible artists. There are so many different works on both artists. Some of the works sell for $2 million, $10 million, $20 million, etc. And I can't remember. I mean, Warhol's famous painting, the Marilyn Monroe painting, Elizabeth Taylor paintings, Mick Jagger paintings, Jerry Hall paintings. He would paint, first he would photograph these celebrities and then paint them. And then I guess sell his paintings to the celebrities or give them away. I'm not sure, but they were both very, very different artists. And, they are both, my inspirations as painters, my painter inspirations, models from pinup sensation, Betty Page. I would have Betty Page posters hanging on my wall in my first apartment. And back then I loved collecting vintage pinup photos of Betty Page. And there's a movie called The Notorious Betty Page that does a good portrayal of her life. I recommend that movie. And the other model that I find to be very inspirational is Iman. She's so glamorous. She's so beautiful. I would be glued to her classic catwalk videos that are on YouTube. Iman was introduced to David Bowie by a hairdresser, their hairdresser, I believe. And I can't remember what year. And then soon after they got married and had a child. And they made such a perfect couple. They were so beautiful. And Iman, something so beautiful about her. And she has a clothing line. She's on Instagram and she always posts very inspirational messages every day. And I really love her. I would love to meet her. And I would love to see her on the catwalk on modeling. And so Betty Page and Iman. And there are other other models that I find very inspirational and striking, but those two just really stick out to me and speak to me. And other two inspirations. These are two different designers. Mugler. He opened his first boutique in Paris in 1978 and launched a line of menswear. And then the 1980s, he really started to shine on the world stage with supermodels like Naomi Campbell and Cindy Crawford, and celebrities like George Michael and RuPaul supporting the work of Mugler. After Mugler passed, they showcased his work at the Brooklyn Museum, and sadly, I missed seeing his work on display. But his work is absolutely gorgeous and glamorous. He also, I mean, he passed away a couple years ago, and it seems like they showcased his work right after he passed at the Brooklyn Museum. But I totally forgot about it. I totally forgot about checking out his works. But hopefully, maybe one of these days they'll showcase his work at the Met. And recently, they showcased what's his name from Chanel, Karl Lagerfeld's work at the Met, and his work was also very beautiful as well. Another fashion designer, Jean-Paul Gaultier, in 1980, he designed women's dresses out of plastic bags. 2 years later, he formally founded his label, his Boy Toy Collection. And in 1984, his designs were stocked in Bergdorf Goodman in New York City. And that year, he also introduced the cone bra corset we now associate with Madonna. He became fascinated with corsetry after rummaging through his grandmother's wardrobe and finding mid-century corsets and bullet bra. Beautiful, beautiful. Madonna and Gaultier look so gorgeous. And there's this one famous catwalk that Madonna did with Gaultier. And then, well, she wore the cone bra, and then all of a sudden she whipped it off, revealing her bare breasts. And that was just. To see that was on YouTube. I didn't see it in person, but seeing that was like, wow, that is incredible. And yeah, also actors and actresses. Marlon Brando, of course, in The Godfather. Robert De Niro, of course, in Taxi Driver. Pacino, of course, in Scarface. Those three actors I find to be very inspiring. It's amazing how De Niro and Pacino are acting to this day. And some of their work is better than others. But Pacino, I would say Scarface, Heat, this other one now. Now I can't remember the name of it. I hate when that happens. But it was filmed in the 70s and he plays a he plays a not a bank robber, but he's trying to yeah, a bank robber. And basically, well, I'm not going to spoil the movie. Now I got to look up the movie because I hate having a brain fart. One second. Al Pacino. Bank robber in Dog Day Afternoon. And that was filmed in Brooklyn. And those are my probably my top three movies by Pacino. And Dog Day. So where they filmed it was supposed to be an old bank, and now to this day it's converted condos. It's totally different site. And it's in it's south of Prospect Park, and that movie is just absolutely brilliant. And Heat, another brilliant film, and of course Scarface, and De Niro, Taxi Driver is probably my top De Niro film, and I actually liked him in he actually played a good dad in Little Fockers or Meet the Fockers. And totally different than Taxi Driver. And he was also incredible in Heat as well. And De Niro, he's made so many movies, countless numbers of movies. And but Taxi Driver, it's probably one of my all-time favorite movies. I could watch it over and over again. And he was also very good in Godfather Part Two, and Silver Linings Playbook. He also played a good dad. Deer Hunter, I didn't really care for, to be honest. Raging Bull, I didn't care for either. So some movies are better than others. People love Raging Bull or Deer Hunter, but it doesn't grab me, I guess. And but Taxi Driver, oh, also of course Casino. Can't forget Casino. And Casino with Sharon Stone. And just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal in that movie with Joe Pesci. Those are definitely, but Taxi Driver, back to Taxi Driver. There's something about Taxi Driver just is like, wow. And then when I watched it and seeing gritty New York City in the 70s, like, wow. And he's driving in a taxi. And there's a couple scenes where Scorsese makes cameos where he's sitting in the back of the taxi cab as a passenger. And then he makes a cameo with Sybil Shepherd in the background where Sybil walks by and Martin Scorsese looks at her like in awe of Sybil Shepherd. And yeah, I could go on and on about Taxi Driver. I could watch that movie any time of day. All right, actresses. Inspiring actresses. Audrey Hepburn, of course, in Breakfast and Tiffany's. There was a documentary on her life on Netflix, I want to say, right now. And it's really very incredible. She became a humanitarian, and very, very caring, very loving soul, very beautiful person, very talented actress. But out of the spotlight, she was, I guess, what you would call normal. She was a mom, she was a wife. She didn't want to be recognized as a famous person. She just wanted to live a quote unquote normal life. And but her movies, Breakfast and Tiffany's, another movie I could watch over and over. That's probably one of my favorite Audrey films. And something about that movie, filmed another New York City film. If you haven't seen it, I would definitely suggest it. And the opening is where she is in her beautiful black gown, wearing pearls. Her hair is up. She's wearing a little crown. And she's got a croissant and coffee in her hands. And she's walking to Tiffany's. And she loves Tiffany's. I do too. And, but it's such a beautifully made film. And she sadly passed away. And, but her work lives on forever. Another actress, Michelle Pfeiffer, in Batman Returns and Scarface, especially. Like, I love, love, love her in Scarface. And when I watched Batman Returns with Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, I was instantly attracted to her. And I was a kid at the time when Batman Returns came out, and I felt something there. I felt like, oh, she is very attractive in that outfit. She's alluring. She's devious. She's Catwoman. And I mean, there were, of course, other beautiful, fantastic Catwomans, Eartha Kitt, Julie Newmar, Michelle Pfeiffer. For me, back then, I was just instantly drawn to her, and her acting is just phenomenal. And Yeah, she's such a great actress. She has a perfume line out. I don't know what the perfume smells like, but she advertises it like every other celebrity. They either have a makeup line, a clothing line, a perfume line, a hair line, a makeup line, etc. But I guess that's their side hustle, and that's great. But I see Michelle Pfeiffer as a fantastic actress. And of course, Angelina Jolie. I love her in Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Yeah, something about that film with her and Brad Pitt just really is very awesome. She plays a badass in that film. Tomb Raider, I love how she looks in Tomb Raider. I haven't seen the movie in its entirety, to be honest. Sometimes some movies just don't grab me. Tomb Raider, yeah, okay, I'll give it another chance. But they made video game characters of her in Tomb Raider video games where you're playing her in a video game, and she's a badass in the video game as well as in the movie. But I'll give it another chance. But her and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I love. And of another film was filmed semi-recently called Salt, where she, well, I'm not going to spoil it. You'd have to see it for yourself, but I like her a lot in that film as well. So those were all my inspirations, people that I look up to, people that move me, that inspire me, that speak to me, whether they're actors, actresses, painters, writers, poets, artists, musicians, and I'm a big fan of the arts, and it's great to have inspirations and people, also personal people that inspire me. Family members are my grandmothers, and they were also artists, and they passed away within a year of each other. One passed away in 2018, and the other passed away in 2019. And they were both artists, they were both musicians, they were both cooks, they were both into fashion. But they were both two entirely different people. And they were both my grandmothers. And I looked up to them while I grew up, and they were both motherly figures I would love. Back when I was a child, and even as a teenager and in my adult years, I would love visiting them. I loved hearing their stories. I loved just listening to them, just watching them cook, smelling their cooked food, eating their cooked food, watching them sew, crochet, hearing their stories from the past. Whether they're good stories or bad stories, they both of my grandmothers had both good and bad stories of their past, and they are both dearly missed, and I feel that they are with me every single day, and it's like, I don't know, it's like they guide me. They're my personal, like they're my guardian angels. I believe that. I believe in that. I believe that they're guiding me through this life, and I have their work displayed in my home. One of them, actually, both of them, they were painters. They're both just creative people, artists, and I believe that's how I became so such a creative person, is by looking up to them. And they were both great people. And it's great to have personal inspirations, people you know, people you don't know, people you admire from afar, people that are in your life. And it's great to look up to people for inspirations, inspirational quotes that can get you through the day, or inspiring music that is moving, that if you're feeling down, it picks you up, has that ability to pick you up, to make you feel good. Going to an art gallery, looking at different paintings from back in the 1700s, 1800s, pop art. There's so much different art. And I find art to be very inspiring, and to go to a art museum, to go to a museum, to get lost in the museum, to look at a specific painting, a specific artwork, and you look and you think like, wow, what is that about? It speaks to me. Or some of the art you might not be into. And there's some art at the Met where I just can't understand. And then some of the art, I'm like, okay, a child can do that. But this is priceless pieces of art. And art is just, it's very inspiring. Musicians are very inspiring people. Poets are very inspiring. Writers are very inspiring. Painters, very inspiring. So it's great to look up to different people, models and photographers, very inspiring. Fashion designers, very inspiring. One day when I was a kid, my grandma said, I could teach you how to sew. But since I'm a very stubborn person, I said, no. So I regret not learning that skill from my grandmother. And she, back then, she wanted to give me her sewing machine, but back then I was like, no. But to learn a skill, it's never too late to learn a skill. Whether it's painting, writing, sewing, fashion design, makeup, doing makeup. So it's, I was talking to somebody recently. She said, I always wanted to be a photographer, but my dad told me that I have to be a nurse. So I said, it's never too late to pick up a camera and learn photography. It's never too late. And yeah, it was a nurse that I was speaking to, and she said that to me, and I found that to be like, wow, her dad made her go to school, made her be a nurse. But I'm like, it's never too late to pick up a camera and start photographing, whether it's on your iPhone or whatever phone or camera. Just if you see something that moves you, snap a picture. Take a picture. So, yeah. I hope you all enjoyed this little long podcast of my personal inspirations on Xena, Life as a Dominatrix. Again, I have a link that states support the show today, and the link leads to my Venmo page. And just for verification, my Venmo username is Zina Romanova. So again, thank you all for tuning in, subscribing, and supporting the show. Have a great day.